my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on these Saturday mornings, as we've been doing for 30 years now. Wow, what a privilege it's been. And I've been able to do that with my good friends here in Southwest Florida at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and then with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air, also online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, and then our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to come together, sit at the feet of the Lord, and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, if you've been with us, you know that I've been doing this long-term series. It's how I see the scriptures as God's portraits of himself for us. And we're looking at several passages of scripture as we're looking at 10 takeaways about how the Lord is our abiding love. He is our abiding love, my friends. That's a portrait we're unpacking. It's something that's a life changer. We started it last time looking at the first three, and we're going to carry on in our list of 10 things that really give us a picture, a portrait of the heart and character of God. Now, He is indeed our abiding love. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Luke 26 today to get started, and then to Romans 5, then John 13. I mean, so many things throughout the scripture point to Him as our abiding love. And as you're making your way to Luke 26, excuse me there. Just a reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website, markpg.org. All the series, the Portrait of God series, all the messages I've been doing for the past little over a year now, I guess, are there. So you can get more and more portraits of God to get to know Him better. So I hope you'll go there, markpg.org. You'll also find some articles that I've written for a publication I've been writing for like 20 years. Also some videos. There are 62, I think, three-minute videos on portraits of God, different ones. And so, yeah, you can use that as a devotional. And then some printed guides on various topics, all kinds of helps. All of them designed for one purpose. That's to help you hear God. God is always talking to us, my friends, talking to us through the scriptures in so many ways. He wants us to get a glimpse of His heart. So as we get started, as is our custom, as we look at this portrait of God as our abiding love, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, thank you so much for the privilege you give us to come to sit at your feet. We love doing that, Lord. There's so much you want us to know. So many things about your heart, your character, your ways. You want us to know that we can trust you more and more, and that we can learn to love you with a deep love more and more. So as we've taken this journey beginning last week and are now continuing for about 3 weeks on this topic of how you're our abiding love, Lord, I pray you'll open our eyes and hearts to receive it so that we can walk in it and experience the difference it makes to know how much you love us. So thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All righty then. For those of you that are note takers and are making a list of these 10 takeaways about how the Lord is our abiding love, we looked at the first three of the 10 last week. We saw that number one, God, our abiding love, shows us that loving God is our top priority. Loving God is our top priority. It's not working for Him. It's not serving Him. It's not pleasing Him. It's loving Him is our top priority. John 12:30 puts it this way. The greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I'm telling you, it didn't get any clearer than that. It's our top priority. And so we unpacked that. And then we looked at number two, how deep love leads to loving obedience. John 14:23 put it this way. If anyone loves me, he will follow my word. and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. So it's kind of a real matter-of-fact thing that he's saying. Look, deep love leads to loving obedience. He doesn't want us to obey because we're afraid of him. Yes, I understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but not to have a terror because he's going to, you know, do something bad or mean to us. He doesn't want the love of slaves. He wants the love of a mate. A husband and wife love each other, and they, well, you can say obey, though I know that's a loaded term, but they want to do the things that are in line with each other's hearts because they want to, not because they have to. Deep love leads to loving obedience. It's a byproduct. And then number three, deep love flows from deep forgiveness. Oh, we camped out here for a while last week. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little, loves little." Listen, when you don't think you've been so bad that you need a lot of forgiveness, if you don't think that you are a sinner that is absolutely being rescued by the Lord and covered by the Lord every day, my friends, you don't then have the capacity to see how much he loves you in spite of all that. And in turn, elicits a response from you. Wow, you've been watching my back for so long and covering me for so long and forgiving me for so much. Lord, that's a love that you don't get in this world. It's all conditional here. You got to earn it. You got to perform for it. But not with you. You've forgiven me for so much. And to the degree, my friend, we realize how much we've been forgiven, our love will deepen for him. Well, that's a brief review. Now let's go on to number four, our next takeaway, I should say, and that's this. When we're talking about the Lord, who is our abiding love, he shows us that, number four, deep love is focused, not divided. Deep love is focused, not divided. He puts it this way in Luke chapter 26, and then in verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Well, there it is. Deep love is focused. It's focused on him, not anything else. If it's divided among other things that you love as equally as you love the Lord, or even supersedes your love for the Lord, well, we know who your master is, and it's not God. So let's kind of walk through this a little bit, because it is a powerful, powerful passage here in Luke 26. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth," or mammon, as it says in the King James Version. So let me see if I can just kind of crystallize this thought down. When you stop and think about it, you can only focus on one thing at a time. So think about it. If you're looking, say, at a landscape, a beautiful landscape of mountains or trees or botanical gardens or whatever they are, just a wonderful, huge landscape, a vista, maybe at the Grand Canyon, you know, or at the Grand Tetons or, you know, or in the Alps or wherever you are, and you're looking at this beautiful outdoor view. Well, you can't look at everything at once. You kind of get a general impression and glance at everything, but you choose to focus either on the mountain on the left, or maybe the river below, or maybe the trees. Or you can only focus on one thing at a time when you're driving down the road. I hope you're focused on the road. Can you glance at the rearview mirror? You glance maybe over to somebody in the passenger seat that you're chatting with, but you are focused on the road, because if you do not, you will have a wreck, my friends. You can focus looking up, or you can focus living out. You can focus looking vertically, or you can focus looking horizontally. And when we let our focus shift to the horizontal things of this earth, including ourselves, including our mate, or our children, or our family, or even church, or even Bible content, or our careers, or our hobbies, or entertainment things, all kinds of things we can focus on, but you can only focus on one thing at a time. What do you have your affections set upon? When you look and you gaze at something and focus on it, it's going to be something that has captured your heart, captured your attention, captured your fancy, captured your affection. And the Lord wants it to be Him. We cannot serve God and anything else if we try to balance our time equally and have an equal passion for all things. It really doesn't work that way. Something's always going to rise to the top. Is it Jesus or self? Is it God or is it idols? And by the way, when we talk about idols, it's easy to think, oh yeah, we're talking about the statues that they made in ancient times, or totem poles that the Indians made, or some representation of deity and idols. Oh yeah, no, we don't do that here in the USA, you know, and stuff. Well, our idols are different. You can make idols out of singers, as an American Idol, right? Or movie stars, or sports heroes, or sports themselves, or your hobby, or even your wife or your family. They become your idol. What is an idol? It's anything that captures your attention more deeply and your time more frequently than anything else. Now you might think, hey, wait a minute, I have to go to work, you know, and focus on that, you know, from 8 to 5 or whatever. That's a long time. You're saying I love that? Well, no, you may not. Now, some people live for their careers. That's what gives them the sense of self-identity and success and all those things. Maybe money or wealth, riches, maybe material things. It may be your leisure time. That's what you focus on. That's what you love. That has captured your attention. You're really into tennis, really into golf or skiing or traveling. Whatever it is, hobbies, careers, and families can become idols at the point when your affection and your time is so focused on them that Jesus gets moved to the wayside. Deep love is focused, not divided. But here is the ironic thing. Or to put it another way, here is the supernatural truth. If you learn how to focus on Jesus with your deep love, receiving His deep love for you, understand that, receiving it, it engenders a deep love for Him. And when you engender a deep love for God as the first and foremost thing, guess what? There is so much love going back and forth, being generated inside and outside of your heart with the Lord, and this free-flowing deep love relationship. It's just like a waterfall just pouring on you, and you're splashing everywhere. Guess what you splash everywhere? The water, which in this case is a metaphor for love. When you are in the waterfall of the deep love of God, when you're plunged into the depths of the deep love of God, and you're cultivating that deep love for Him, then there's so much love to go around. Guess what? Your family will get more love than they ever have before. So will the friends. So will people at church and at work, everywhere, because it's a deep kind of love that even loves when we don't deserve it. In fact, the deepest love keeps loving, especially when we don't deserve it. That is an agape kind of love. That's a God kind of love. While were we yet sinners, Christ died for us, which we're going to see here in a bit. But when we receive how the Lord loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and it engenders a similar focus on our part, when He becomes our singular focus of cultivating a love relationship, it overflows and spills out to those around us. That's why it's the greatest commandment, because that's how it works. Oh, my friend, I hope you're discovering that Jesus is your abiding love. He abides in you, and you in him. It stays, it sticks, it is focused on you, and you can focus on him, but he doesn't make you, he doesn't force you. He invites you, he woos you, he opens your eyes to how much he loves you unconditionally, undivided, focused. Deep love is focused, not divided. Well, as we continue our journey in discovering this portrait of God as our abiding love, let me take you to number 5, which is over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while were we yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let me kind of amplify that a little bit. God demonstrates his own abiding love toward us, in that while were we yet sinners, while were we yet jerks, while were we yet imperfect, while were we yet rebellious, while were we yet insolent, while were we yet apathetic, while were we yet wounded, he loves us and demonstrates that by dying on the cross, by abiding with us, by being a constant forgiver, by covering for us when we've just lost it. Because you see, and here's takeaway number 5, not only is deep love flowing from deep forgiveness and is focused and not divided, but number 5, deep love is selfless and sacrificial. Selfless and sacrificial. Why were we yet sinners? Why were we yet imperfect? Why were we yet wounded? And wounded people wound people. He demonstrates his love. He still loves us. Now, my friend, this is a supernatural kind of love. And it is one that we're called to practice as well, but not trying to just, you know, gear it up and, you know, and just flex our muscles and just, okay, I'm going to have to love them, even though they're being jerks, even though they hurt me, and I'm going to just force love on them. I'm going to try to feel love for them. Okay, just stop right there. That's not how it works. The way it works is simply this. To the degree you see and receive God's selfless and sacrificial love for you. He sent his son to die on the cross. An equally accurate way of saying that is, and he became flesh. God himself became flesh and dwelt among us and died for us, that we could become one with him while we were yet sinners. And then once we're saved, are we perfectly sinless? No, we're going to still be imperfect. And yet, he still loves us. Now, it's hard for us to grab hold of that concept in a theoretical sense as human beings, but we can get close when we have our newborn babies and we are having to do everything for them, and they're crying in the middle of the night and they're pooping in their diapers and they're doing all kinds of stuff. They're not pulling their weight at all, and yet we love them and we are selfless and sacrificial and getting up in the night for the feedings or the cleanings. We're hanging there with them, trying to figure out why they're crying sometimes. And we struggle to find that, but that love is still there, even though it's a challenge for us. Babies are not perfect. And guess what? Neither are toddlers, nor grade school children, nor middle schoolers, nor high schoolers, nor university or professional people. And as we grow older and older and older, we are still never going to be perfect. And when you marry, your mate is never going to be perfect. And when you have children, they are never going to be perfect. And if you have relatives, they are never going to be perfect. If you have bosses, teachers, neighbors, pastors, friends, none of them are going to be perfect. And yet, you can still love them, because We're all imperfect. We're all wounded. And we're all right there, ready to receive the deep, selfless, sacrificial love of God. And to the degree we receive that, we're able to provide that, or better yet, channel that love to others. I love that. So when somebody yelps at you, upset, angry, strikes out, you know, verbally, whatever, they're wounded souls, and wounded people will wound people. And to the degree we've accepted and understood and received the deep love of God, which is selfless and sacrificial, we're good with Him. And therefore, we're in a stable position and at peace to be able to reflexively say, Lord, they are so wounded. Listen to the things they're saying to me or about me. Bless our hearts. Lord, I pray for them. They don't know what they're saying. They're out of their minds right now. Oh, rescue them, oh Lord. And when people do things that are imperfect, well, Lord, yeah, that wasn't the best thing to say. That wasn't the best thing to do. That wasn't the best way to act. But God, we're all on a learning curve, and we're not perfect. God bless them. God love them. And let me love them too. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet imperfect, He still abides in us with His love for us. While we were yet wounded, making a mess and wounding others sometimes, He still loves us. He never gives up on us. He never does. Because His deep love is selfless. It's sacrificial. No matter how dark our words or our practices or our days, He loves us all the more. Incredible. The Lord is our abiding love. And that leads us to number 6, which tells us that the Lord, our abiding love, well, He shows us that deep love is the hallmark of true disciples. Deep love is the hallmark of true disciples. Let me take you to John chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verses 34 and go through 35. That's John 13, 34 through 35. Jesus says this, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here you have it. Deep love is the hallmark of true disciples. Would that be the hallmark of your life? If I were to ask people about you, what are they like? Oh, they just love folks. It's just amazing. Doesn't matter who it is. Could be a salesman that walks through the door, or the guy at the hot dog stand, or could be somebody over at the soccer field, somebody in church, somebody in the neighborhood. They just love on people. Yeah, but are those people loving back? Not necessarily. But he knows they're hurting, or she knows that they're wounded. And they just keep loving on folks, and they love each other, and wounds and all, fears and all, insecurity and all, ambition and all, pride and all. Because here's the deal. Those, though, are the types of things that will block a sense of true love and the ability to receive it or share it. When we're wounded, our pain is just so dominant that we cannot see the love that is out there for us from God and from others He's put into our lives. We can't see it through the wounds. Or maybe you felt rejection. You've had some family issues that you just felt totally rejected, maybe over the span of many months and stuff. And it's just, you feel so rejected that you just don't feel lovable at all, and therefore unable to love others. Sometimes it is fear that blocks deep love, fear of the future, fear of another rejection, fear of failure, fear of being humiliated. You don't want to risk loving because you might get hurt again. You're fearful of being hurt again. Here's the thing, though. In fact, there was a great line in a movie called First Night. It was Sean Connery and Richard Gere plays Lancelot. Sean Connery is King Arthur, and he's And this particular edition of the Camelot story, Camelot's kind of a, or excuse me, Lancelot's kind of a vagabond. He goes about just kind of fighting for money, but he has no real allegiance. He'd been abandoned and all that, and he fears nothing. And there's a day when, early on, King Arthur says, "Lancelot, to fear nothing is to love nothing. And to love nothing, well, what is there to live for?" What a great truth. Don't let fear keep you from loving. Because love is how the world is designed to be lived by God. Deep love. Deep love is the hallmark of true discipleship. Don't let wounds, don't let rejection, don't let fear, don't let insecurities, and we're all insecure. Don't let ambition, I just want to work hard and I won't worry about this relational stuff. No, pride, well, I'm good, I'm okay, you're okay, whatever. Don't let all those walls and all those wounds and all those defense mechanisms keep you from experiencing the deep love that God has designed for us to enjoy from Him and from each other. God is so good. He is our abiding love, and there's so many ways it is described and manifested. Receive it, my friend. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for this time together to sit at your feet and see what deep love looks like and how you practice that all the time, and you can embed that with us so that it just flows from us to the degree we abide in you and your love. We receive that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, until next time, this is Mark Gonzalez. Fall in love with your Jesus, abiding love.